The message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing.
But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom.
God's kindness is stronger than human strength.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the reading.
Welcome, Jonathan, forever and ever. The first reading is from Micah, the 6th chapter. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 15 responsively with me. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly and do what is right and speak the truth from their heart.
Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor take up a reproach against their neighbors.
In whose eyes the wicked are despised, but who honor those who fear the Lord, who stand by their oaths even to their hurt.
Who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 18th chapter. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Oh,
Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A sermon from Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Hence the Sermon on the Mount, on a mountain. He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. No, I'm not leaving. I left my sermon sitting on the table back here. Oh, look at all of these friendly faces. Welcome. So, you get two sermons today. Jesus just gave us a sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard countless sermons on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to preach another. How many of you heard on Micah chapter 6? That's what I will preach today. Did anyone notice that it was a court case? No? Anyway, so court is now in session. All rise. Tracy almost did. We got one. We're used to standing up and sitting down and sitting down and standing up in that here. So the honorable God is presiding as judge in this case. The case is God versus the people of Israel. Doesn't seem fair that God should preside as judge if he's levying the charges, but it's God, so God can do that. And I guess you could call us the co-defendants along with Israel. God is also, in addition to being judge, he's also jury and executioner. Not to spoil the ending, but the sentence is death by drowning. Not good news for someone who's getting baptized today, but you know. God will also bear witness against the people. Micah is the prosecutor, the prophet Micah, and his case is an easy one for him to prove. We've made Micah's case an easy one for him to prove. In his opening statement, Micah levies some heavy accusations against us, the people. Micah says, "You lay awake at night devising wicked deeds, and when morning dawns, you use your power first thing to pounce on unsuspecting and powerless prey. You covet the few fields that you do not yet own, and then you go and steal them. You oppress the weak to increase your power." Well, that sounds like us. You rise against God's people as though they were your enemies. You strip them of their robes and their dignity. You assault those who have no thought of war. You drive women and children from their houses. Where will they stay? You don't really seem to care about that. You rulers of the house of Israel, you should know justice. You should know justice. I gave you a bunch of laws. You should know them. But instead, you hate what is good and love what is evil.
You abhor justice and you pervert all equity. You build your places of power with blood. Those are the charges against us. So God takes the stand, and instead of levying more accusations, Micah's done a pretty fine job, I think. God instead asks some very pointed questions and then demands some answers. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? It's a fair question. How have I burdened you? Have I burdened you with these laws? Answer me. And God knows there is no answer from us. There's no answer from Israel. Our iniquities are exposed, and now God continues, kind of rubbing a little salt into the wound, reminding us of God's faithfulness to the promises by recalling a very condensed version of salvation history. He says, I brought you up from the land of Egypt. Don't you remember that? From the house of slavery. I gave you Moses and Miriam and Aaron to lead you. Oh, my people, do you remember Balak? Who here remembers Balak? No? I think he's in Numbers somewhere. Anyway, I gave you Balak when he wanted you dead. Remember him? I gave you Balaam to thwart his plans. I ushered you into the promised land that you may know of all my saving acts. Where God has been faithful, we have sinned. We cannot justify our wrongdoing. We try to do it all the time, but we can't. We cannot justify it. We cannot justify ourselves. We know that. We stand guilty as charged, and we are subject to God's judgment. But we are human. We like to make excuses for ourselves. We like to defend ourselves. So what do? We foolishly take the stand anyway. And when we do, instead of repenting, instead of owning up to our transgressions, we make a silly suggestion, I would say. Suggest offerings to make up for our sins. Increasingly ridiculous offerings, I would say. We start off with, how about we burn some calves, year-old calves? Would you like some calves as burnt offerings? Or how about rams? We have thousands upon thousands of rams that we've plundered from your people. Do you want those? Would that please you? Okay. How about 10,000 rivers of oil? Would that please you, God? Is that what you want from us? Still no. What do you demand of us, God? Shall we give our firstborn for our transgressions? How many of you here, sometimes when raising your children, would have wanted to give up your firstborn? I've got to take her. Of course, none of us would want to do that. The prosecutor is sick of it. Micah steps in and he says, okay, he has told you. He has told you what is good. He has told you what is good. What the Lord requires of you is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We have a chance. We have a chance. It's a plea agreement. The prosecutor is offering a plea deal for us, right? Unfortunately, the terms of this plea deal are impossible. To do justice and be kind and merciful all the time and to walk humbly with our God all the time, are you kidding me? We can aspire to act with justice and kindness and mercy and to do so with our humble hearts as we walk with God, but who's really good at all of those things all of the time? We will fall short every single time. It's an impossible standard. We will privilege, I guarantee to you this. We will always privilege justice over mercy because we are a people who demands justice. But it's our justice, right? Our kind of justice is what we want to see. We can aspire to act with it, but will not be God's justice. It will be ours. And as for humility, those of us who are so certain that we always act with justice and therefore walk with God, we self-righteously place ourselves over and above our foolish neighbors and our hated enemies who we are certain know nothing of our brand of justice. So much for humility and walking humbly with God. And yet, some of us will take this plea deal. We do believe and we understand rightly that the law is good and its demands bring goodness and life. That's why God gave us the law. But we misjudge our ability to uphold the law. We cannot uphold the law on our own. That's the problem with the law. Others of us, we kind of get it. We reject the plea deal, understanding that these demands cannot be met. We hope for grace. We're really good at sitting back and hoping for grace, right? And in the meantime, we offer our pious atonements. Oil and rams and calves, worship and ritual and song and ceremony. In the end, though, whether we accept the deal or reject the deal, we all stand rightly condemned. And as I alluded to, death is drowning. But it's not exactly as it seems. When God takes the stand, though we remain guilty and irredeemable people, God tells a story of redemption and salvation. God gets the chance to tell us of everything that we've done wrong. He allows Micah to do that. And instead, God tells of salvation. God delights in saving, not condemning. Don't get me wrong. We cannot discount judgment. Go read Micah. There's plenty of judgment there. Micah makes this clear. And Micah also makes clear that ours is a God who prefers salvation over condemnation. Micah ultimately pronounces the judge's ruling, drowning. I'll get there. But first, he wonders aloud, who is this God who pardons iniquity and passes over the transgressions of his people? Passes over our transgressions. But God does not cling to his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again show us compassion. He will trample not on us, but on our iniquities. And into the depths of the sea, he will cast us. He will cast our sins. God shows faithfulness to Jacob, steadfast love to Abraham, which he swore to our fathers from the ancient days. Two of my professors, Rolf Jacobson and Michael Chan, they explain God's ruling in this way. Israel's future will be built on God's delight in forgiveness and on the faithfulness to ancient promises. God delights in forgiveness and is faithful to God's promises. We deserve execution. We deserve that drowning I talked about. It will happen. But God grants clemency with that drowning. Into the depths of the sea, he will cast all of our sins. God's verdict, you see, is spoken into our lives in the waters of baptism. That's why a lot of us are here today, right? A baptism. These waters, they drown our sins. But also, Jonathan, I have some bad news for you. These waters, they drown our own sinful selves. Sorry, buddy. I can't help it. That's just what baptism does. In the waters of baptism, we are put to death. So I guess, Mitchell and Aubrey, what do you say? We still doing this baptism thing today? Yeah? Cool. I'm glad you're on board. But it gets better, right? Baptism, it does something to us and for us. Our old sinful selves are put to death in the waters of baptism. But guess what? We don't stay there. We don't stay there. From the waters of baptism, we rise to new life in Jesus Christ. We heard Paul talk about the foolishness of the cross. That's the foolishness of the cross, and that's the foolishness of our baptism. We don't just stay dead in the waters of baptism. We rise to new life in Christ. The life of the baptized Christian is a life of daily repentance. I know, we don't like that word, repentance, but all it means is turning to Christ, dying to self in the waters of baptism, and returning to Christ, rising anew out of those waters of baptism each day, because as Micah makes clear, we lie awake at night devising wicked deeds. Each night. And all day, devising and doing wicked deeds. I know, I make it sound really bad, but that's kind of what sin is. And we all do it every day. Baptism does not prevent us from sinning. It doesn't. That's not what it does. It instead turns us back to Christ again and again and again. Because the promise we receive in our baptism is stronger than our sin. Baptism is what defeats our sin. And it's something that happens over and over and over again until we die. It is from this place, this daily dying and rising with Christ, that this impossible command, this command that sounds crazy and impossible to uphold, to do justice, to love kindness and mercy, to walk humbly with our God, it's impossible, right? But it's met and transformed by a promise in the waters of a baptism. What once indicted and announced our guilt is transformed in these waters. Once a burden, this command is now a gift for us and for the world. Justice and mercy flow freely from us and our new lives in Christ. In and through these waters of baptism, God calls us into the saving work that God is already doing in this world. But we do not hold the gavel. That's not our job as we enter this world as baptized Christians, is it? We are not the judge. We are not the jury. We are not the executioner. I'm sorry. I know we really want to be all of these things. We want to hold the gavel. We want to pronounce people guilty. And we want to destroy them when they're wrong, don't we? That's what we deserve, but that's not what God gives. God gives baptism. And here we are pardoned, claimed, and raised to new life. God tells a story of salvation. But he does not simply tell the story. God authors the story of our salvation. Again and again, God casts our sins along with us into the depths of the waters of our baptism. And again, God speaks an unbelievable verdict, saved and set free. A verdict that cannot be undone. This is the life of the baptized, dying and rising, returning to Christ, being drawn into a world that God refuses to abandon each and every day. So what about it, Jonathan? You in? He's in. He's dressed in white, all the things. He's ready. But we don't get baptized because we finally get it right. God doesn't save us because we finally get it right. God saves us because God delights in saving us. Amen. family, whatever your last names are, we're just calling you the Whistler family today. Hi. He's awake. In baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father frees us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are born children of a fallen humanity. By water and the Holy Spirit, we are reborn children of God and made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ in the communion of saints, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. To the sponsors for Jonathan, I ask, who presents Jonathan Rhett Whistler for baptism?
We do.
All right. I fed them their line. It's okay. They do. Aubrey N. Mitchell, called by the Holy Spirit, trusting in the grace and love of God, do you desire to have Jonathan baptized into Christ? If so, please respond, I do. As you bring Jonathan to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities. Are you up for it? You haven't even heard him yet. How do you know? To live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and eventually to the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed, to place in his hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture him in faith and prayer so that he may learn to trust God, to proclaim Christ in word and deed, and to care for others in the world God made, and to work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Jonathan grow in the Christian faith and life? If so, please respond, I do. I thought it was all going to fall apart there. Sophia and Brendan, do you promise to nurture Jonathan in his Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit to do so and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, please respond, I do. You all are not off the hook. People of God, do you promise to support Jonathan and pray for him in his new life in Christ? If so, please respond, we do. Did they all say it? I think so. To the assembly, I ask you, well, you're already standing. So as we will profess our shared faith in Jesus Christ, we will reject sin and confess the faith of the church. So it will be up there. If you have your little bulletin, you can look in that, follow along, and profess as you are moved. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? If so, please respond, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, holy God. You are the creator of the waters of this earth. You are the fire of rebirth. You poured out your spirit on your people Israel. You breathe life into our dry bones. Your son Jesus promised to send the spirit to us that the world may know your peace and truth. Pour out your Holy Spirit and breathe new life into Jonathan. By your spirit, I know I looked at you, I'm sorry. By your spirit, adopt us as all as your children through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All right. The time has come, buddy. You ready for this? He's like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Jonathan, you want to, however you want to do it. That works perfect. He's like, I don't like this. Jonathan Rhett Whistler, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh. We have a little collector's towel for him, you to take home for him. I'm sorry. I wiped it off. Oh, we're supposed to sing a little song right now, I think. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you gave your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Jonathan with the gift of your Holy Spirit and the power of wisdom and understanding and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, in the spirit of the joy in your presence, both now and forever. I know you didn't like that. Oh. We're almost done, buddy. Oh, my hands are wet and I can't get that open. Jonathan, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Does one of you want to do the honors of lighting this off of our Paschal candle? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have the light of life. And you all have a speaking part again. Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission we share. Join us in redeeming word to all the world. That's it. You all can sit down as we sing this hymn. Did great. Jonathan did great. Again, welcome to all of our visitors. It is wonderful to see you loving and supporting Jonathan as a newly baptized. Oh yeah, we should probably let's give him a We will continue with our prayers of intercession, and I will allow you to stay seated for that since you stood for so long. Are there any additional prayers this morning that you would like to add? Jim Hauser? Family of Jim Gast. Other prayers today? Let us pray. As God's beloved children united in Christ, let us pray for the church, the whole human community, and the well-being of the earth.
God, our wisdom, renew the church in the power of the Spirit, that it may do justice, love kindness, live humbly, and boldly proclaim Christ crucified. We pray for the ministries that seek justice for underprivileged and underserved people and communities, especially the Ohio Hunger Network, the Coalition of Homelessness and Housing in Ohio, Lutheran Social Services, ELCA World Hunger. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, our advocate, you give hope to all who suffer because of persecution, poverty, and war. Reunite separated families and bring orphaned children to safety. Comfort any who grieve or suffer in any way, especially the family and friends of Caleb. For Clint, Barb, Mary Lou, Joe, Linda, Ed, Jack Jr., Pastor Tim, Tony, for Jim Hauser, for the family and friends of Jim Gast, for those on our long-term homebound and assisted living prayer lists, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. God, our righteousness, raise up visionary leaders who serve with integrity and respect human rights. Increase freedom in this and every nation. Protect educators and journalists, elected leaders and activists, those who engaged in public demonstration, and law enforcement personnel. May violence give way to dialogue and certainty to curiosity. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Confident that the Holy Spirit receives our prayers and answers us, we commend all for whom we pray to God's loving kindness made known to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace and a warning to those who have never been here before. People spread out everywhere. And our offerings.
Thank you.
you have prepared for those who love you. Yet in this meal, you reveal the wideness of your mercy. Use what we have gathered to feed us with the reign of God come near. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Oops.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come to this table where the promise is received. And a few notes on communion today. All are welcome to take communion if you desire to do so. You come up the center aisle. There are empty cups for you to take. For the wine, you come and gather around on either side, and the wine is poured into the cups for you after you have received the bread. If you prefer not to come up, or if you prefer to come up and receive a blessing, that is also, you can do whatever you want. Just know that all are welcome. You can come up for a blessing or not.
Mercy now breathe.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Radiant God, we have seen your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In the sacrament of his body and blood, you have drawn us to your heart. Send us from this table with delight, that our lives may reflect the beauty of your love and bear witness to all we have seen and heard, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Sorry, that was probably me. Let's see, a few announcements today. Let's see, catechism? Yay! So Sunday, February 15th, we're going to have our second annual, this makes it a tradition, our second annual Shrove Sunday Pancake Breakfast, rather than Shrove Tuesday. Shrove Sunday Pancake Breakfast. The breakfast ministry team will be making pancakes with a toppings bar, eggs, sausage, coffee, probably orange juice and some other things, you know, whatever. So with that, Ash Wednesday will be on February 18th. We'll gather at 7 p.m. As part of our Lutheran partnership with St. Paul in North Robinson. 7 p.m., St. Paul, Wednesday, February 18th, to be reminded that you are simply dust and ashes. What other announcements do we have this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. What is good?
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love, kindness?
And walk humbly with God.
We will. Thanks be to God.
As the baptized.
Thank you. brother, whoa. Got it out.
I know, that's, I'm like this close, like, should I sew? I'm like, it's out, maybe I can do it, because I like to cold sometimes. And I'm like, nah, I'm like, I don't have that in me. But it is funny, when that comes out, I'm just like, what can I do with this?
Yeah.